World Sport now from the BBC with me, John Myers. Coming up, a setback for Liverpool against Lille in the last 16 of the Europa League.
It's curled in, right footed, the clutch of players going in. I'm not too sure who got the final touch. In fact, nobody got the final touch because they're all running to Hazard.
A significant development in the plans to take over Manchester United, and Gilchrist calls for a dedicated window for the Indian Premier League. Well, a disappointing season so far for Liverpool is showing no signs of improvement. After a Premier League defeat earlier in the week, they went down 1-0 away to Lille in the first leg of their last 16 Europa League tie. Ian Dennis was watching in France.
It was an improvement on that abject display at Wigan, but it was the same old story in Europe this season. Liverpool had chances, didn't take them, and while it wasn't in the last minute, they again conceded late on. Rainer was at fault as Hazard's free kick went straight through a crowded box with just 6 minutes left. Earlier, Londro kept out Barbel with his legs and produced an outstanding save to claw away a Torres header that in the second half denied Gerrard. The damage could have been far greater had Aubameyang not hit a post to make it two. It is retrievable, but Liverpool have work to do to keep their season alive.
Fulham's hopes for a place in the quarterfinals were left hanging by a thread after a 3-1 defeat away to Juventus. Alistair Bruce Ball was watching in Turin.
A killer goal from the man they call Trezeguet with the last kick of the first half has really swung this tie in Juventus's favour. David Trezeguet reacted sharply to volley home a rebound after his initial effort had come back off a post. That after Fulham had got themselves back into the game at 2-1 through Dixon Atuhu's rather luckily deflected effort. That could still be, though, a crucial away goal. Fulham certainly weren't overawed in a disappointingly empty stadium, but there were some uncharacteristic defensive mistakes. Le Grotalier was allowed a free header from a corner for the first, Zabina beating players too easily before smashing in a screamer for the second. The third was the real blow, but Juventus didn't push too hard to put the tie beyond doubt in the second half, Schwarzer making one important late save from Diego, and that still gives Fulham a sniff at Craven Cottage.
Elsewhere, Atletico Madrid shared a goalless draw with Sporting Lisbon. Ruud van Nistelrooy scored in Hamburg's 3-1 win over Anderlecht. Wolfsburg drew 1-1 away to Rubin Kazan. Marseille scored in the last minute to earn a 1-1 draw away to Benfica. Standard Liège were 3-1 winners away to Panathinaikos. Valencia shared a 1-1 draw with Werder Bremen. The proposed takeover of Manchester United by a group of financiers appears to be gathering momentum. In what they call the significant next step, the Red Knights have announced that they're to be advised by Nomura, the Japanese investment bank, as they try to coordinate the proposal to be put to the Glazer family. The group also have the support of the Manchester United Supporters Trust, who've been leading the protests against the Glazers. With more, the BBC's Dan Roan.
This is an important twist in the battle for ownership of Manchester United. Nomura's team will be led by Guy Dawson, a banker who helped broker the deal to sell the club to the Glazers in 2005. Now his challenge is to advise the Red Knights, a group of 70 wealthy investors, on how they can buy the club back. A spokesman for the Red Knights told the BBC that the recruitment of Nomura was a significant next step towards a credible bid, and Dawson will now meet with the Manchester United Supporters Trust about harnessing the financial clout of their 128,000 members. The investors hope an offer of between $1.2 and $1.5 billion will be enough to tempt United's American owners to sell, but this could take months to achieve. The anti-Glazer campaign received a huge boost when David Beckham draped himself in a green and gold scarf, the public symbol of the protest, after AC Milan's defeat to his old club at Old Trafford. A senior Red Knight told me that the gesture was priceless and that momentum was gathering, but the Glazers remained defiant, a spokesman confirming the club was not for sale.
Didier Drogba has been named African Footballer of the Year by the Confederation of African Football. Drogba finished ahead of his Chelsea teammate Michael Essien and Inter Milan's Samuel Eto'o. The Ferrari driver Felipe Massa says he's concerned that safety could be compromised at this weekend's Bahrain Grand Prix, the first race of the new season. Financial problems meant the Hispania team and their two rookie drivers, Bruno Senna, nephew of the late Ayrton Senna, and Karun Chandok, failed to take part in any of the pre-season tests. Massa's concerned that uncompetitive cars will create dangerous situations, but Chandok believes it's not an issue.
You know, at the end of the day, people ran in F1 for many, many years with a lot more cars on the grid with bigger disparities in front of the back. It's just in the last 3-4 years the whole group's sort of tightened up. You know, if you look back to even the early part of the decade, You know, the difference between the when Ferrari and Schumacher were dominating to, say, Minardi at the back, you're looking at the same 4.5 seconds. You know, you look even earlier, you look to the mid-90s when Williams was so dominant, you'd be looking at 6-7 seconds. So, you know, I think people sort of forget. Fortunately for me, I have a great sense of history for the sport. You know, so I don't forget all these things. I don't think it's a safety concern, really, no.
You can hear more from Karen Chandhok in Saturday's Sports World with Russell Fuller. The programme starts at 14 hours GMT. Germany is still on course to win a record third successive Men's Hockey World Cup. In the semi-finals, they defeated England 4-1. They'll face Australia, who defeated the Netherlands 2-1. From Delhi, the BBC's Aaron Armstrong reports.
Germany may not have performed at their best throughout this tournament, but it appears they're peaking at just the right time after limiting England to a handful of chances while clinically taking their own. The defending champions were 2-0 up after 11 minutes, and although England pulled one back shortly after, Germany scored either side of half-time to seal a deserved victory. They'll now face Australia in a repeat of the 2006 final after the Kookaburras edged out the Netherlands 2-1 in a closely contested tie. The Dutch media have suggested their coach, Michel van den Heuvel, may now be under pressure to keep his job after falling again at the semi-final stage. However, it's already too late for those in charge of Pakistan. Coach Shahid Ali Khan and his selection committee have been sacked after finishing last, their worst ever performance. And the country's hockey federation says all 18 players have offered to retire.
The former Australia international wicketkeeper Adam Gilchrist has become the latest high-profile cricketer to call for a dedicated window for the Indian Premier League. The third edition gets underway in Mumbai on Friday without some of its major stars, but it's the international schedules rather than security concerns that's keeping them away from the start. The players are keen to avoid a clash between the 2020 tournament and international fixtures because of the money they stand to earn. But Gilchrist, who'll captain the Deccan Chargers team, says a dedicated period in the cricket calendar would also help build the IPL brand.
I think the ICC and the IPL need to really sit down at the table and look closely at it, and I've got no doubt that the administrators are already aware of that. I'm not telling anyone anything they don't know there. I'm beginning more and more to believe that the players across the globe would like a window to be available. There's the glaringly obvious part of that there's a good financial return for players, but along with that, it's becoming a premier. Well, it is the premier club competition in the world, I think. It's really caught the imagination of everyone involved, and I think if the players want to be a part of it and are desperate to be a part of it, that's only going to help the brand and the game of cricket grow. So there's great benefit for the game of cricket.
Bangladesh take on England in the first test in Chittagong on Friday, having lost the previous four test match encounters. England looks set to play two spinners, while Bangladesh will be without 22-year-old Raqibul Hassan, who sensationally announced his international retirement. The BBC's Simon Mann looks ahead.
Stand-in captain Alistair Cook says playing five bowlers is a luxury, and whilst giving no more away about team selection, the indications are that England are seriously considering sticking to the plan followed in South Africa of playing six batsmen. That would mean a debut for Michael Carberry. The difference comes in the make-up of the bowling attack, where two seamers and two spinners appears the preferred option, so a debut for James Treadwell. Bangladesh include three frontline spinners, but no Raqibul Hassan, who scored a century in the warm-up game. He stunned the locals by retiring from international cricket at the age of 22, apparently angry at being left out of his side's World T20 squad.
Our top stories: Liverpool have lost 1-0 away to Lille in the first leg of their last 16 Europa League tie. Juventus beat Fulham 3-1. Hamburg were 3-1 winners over Anderlecht. And Standard Liège won 3-1 away to Panathinaikos. The other four matches were drawn. That's the latest world sport from the BBC.